Are you a Christian? How would you answer that question if someone were to ask you that today? I'm rather sure if we were to begin to ask specific people that question, that here are some of the answers we would get. Some would say, "Oh yes, I know I'm a Christian." Then there might be some of us who would say, "Well, I think I am." Or maybe the answer would be, "I hope I am." And if you were to answer yes to the question of whether or not you're a Christian, why would you answer yes? And if you are certain that you can know that you are a Christian, how do you know? For a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider the question, can I know if I'm a Christian? The passage that Joel read a moment ago, we, I think, got the idea of the attitude that Paul had toward the question. He said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." If we were to put that into a bit more of a simple statement, Paul said, "I know I'm a Christian, and I know the benefits that I receive from my Savior." But I want us to look at another writer, another apostle this morning as we answer this question. I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of John. Chapter 13 is where we will begin. I want us to look at three passages in the book of John and then go to the book of 1 John and look at three passages that are similar to the first three, and then some other passages that perhaps expand on the ideas that are involved in these. I am a bit concerned about the person who says, "I know I'm a Christian because I feel it right here." One person that I was discussing this with said on one occasion, "I'd rather have the feeling that I have right here than a stack of Bibles. I know I'm a Christian because I feel it." And I would be a bit concerned about the person who says, "I know I'm a Christian because everybody with whom I attend worship services would tell you that I'm a Christian." If we took a vote, I would get at least 99% approval by those with whom I worship. They would tell you I'm a Christian. But I am also concerned about many of us who maybe would say, "I think or I hope I'm a Christian," suggesting that maybe we do not have the assurance that we need and the assurance that we sang about in that first song and to some extent in every song that we have used this morning. In John, the 13th chapter, at verses 34 and 35, we have a very important passage. But it is a passage that is referred to sometimes by itself without looking at other passages on the subject. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I've heard this passage used more than any other passage in the Bible from our pulpits, especially in recent years, as the subject of whether or not we can know that we are Christians is being discussed. And the point is made, it is a scriptural point, it is a good point, but sometimes is made by itself. The point is made that we can know that we are Christians, that we are His disciples, if we have love one for another. I would hasten to say to you that that is one of the factors, but I do not believe that it is the only factor. You see, if we were discussing the plan of salvation this morning that's involved in becoming a Christian, a lesson, in fact, which David discussed last Sunday evening, We could go to certain passages and read where you are saved by faith. You are saved by repentance. Confession is involved in your salvation. You're saved at baptism. And sometimes this is even done. We will look at one of those passages and say, you see, the Bible says right here that we are saved by faith. Therefore, that's all there is to it. Or we are saved by grace. That's all there is to it. And if we pull one idea, one concept out of context and try to make it mean more than God intended for it to mean, we may then have a problem. I believe that's what happens on this subject of love as a factor in determining whether or not we are Christians. There is no doubt but that the Bible says if we love one another, that is a proof of our being his disciples. But is it the only proof? I would guess this morning that those who are members of the Church of Satan love one another. I have seen evidence of that. I would guess that those who are a member of organized crime, the underworld, love one another. Some of them don't. But in general, there is a type of love that is among people even like that. I don't think anybody is ready to draw the conclusion this morning that those who are members of the Church of Satan are New Testament Christians because they love one another. And yet let us be careful that we do not swing so far in the other direction that we overlook the importance of love one for another. I just don't believe that you can be a New Testament Christian. I don't care what else you have done. You come in and sit on one side of the auditorium and you harbor feelings towards somebody that's on the other side, hatred or envy or whatever it might be. And maybe you leave and go out in the community during the week and you just don't get along with people and you don't have the right kind of feelings toward people. It just doesn't make sense that one can claim to be a real New Testament Christian without love for the brethren. However, let's look at a couple other passages. Back up to the 8th chapter of John just a moment. And in John 8 at verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And remember over in John 13, he said, if you have love for the brethren, you are my disciples. Here he says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. The same language is used as far as discipleship is concerned. Same idea of being a follower of Jesus Christ, which is synonymous to being a New Testament Christian. A real follower of Christ in every sense of the word would today be a New Testament Christian. So he says here, if you are a disciple, you base that on whether or not you continue in my word. You see, this also is a factor that is involved. Somebody says, okay, then I know I'm a disciple. I know I'm a Christian because I have believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, and I come to the services, and we sing and teach and pray and preach and give and observe the Lord's Supper. Well, I can even take a checklist. You just put the scriptures down there, and I can take a checklist, and I can check them off. I've done every one of these things. Therefore, I am a New Testament Christian. Well, what about your love? Do you love the bread? Oh, now, wait a minute. Let's don't talk about that. Let's just talk about keeping these commandments. You see, this can be a problem also if we pull this out of context by itself and think that we can determine that we are Christians just by a checklist, that we can check off, God said do this, 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 as far as becoming a Christian and worship. Usually those are the two things that we emphasize. And so as long as I have gone through the steps of obedience, and I'm not criticizing the idea of steps, they're there, but as long as I've gone through those and I'm doing what he said in worship, then I'm a New Testament Christian. Is that all there is to it? Let's look at another passage. Go to the 15th chapter of John. Verse 8. And before you look at verse 8, let your eyes sort of glance back through the first seven verses, and you see the context of where he's talking about the vine and the branches. A man abiding in Christ as a vine, being in Christ as a vine, as a part of the vine, would be synonymous with being a Christian. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Well, we got another idea that's brought in here. Bearing fruit. So somebody says, I am a Christian because I'm out here in the community doing good things. You just look at my life. I spend my life being of service to other people. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I'm a good brother. I'm a good son. I'm a good citizen. I'm involved in these activities. And in fact, look at the group that I'm a member of. Look at what we're doing in the community. So we must be New Testament Christians. We're involved in doing good things. And sometimes we almost get to the point when we think like that, that we come back to this idea of a checklist, but another checklist, that I've got so many good deeds to do, and if my good deeds add up, then I'm all right, I'm a Christian, and I'll be all right at the day of judgment. Those folks referred to in Matthew 7 may have had the problem that I've just referred to. They said in the day of judgment, Lord, look at all the things we've done in your name. Why, we've cast out devils, and we've done all these wonderful works. We've prophesied. We've taught in your name. Look at all the services we've done in your name. He says, you're not talking about wonderful works. You're talking about works of iniquity. Because I never knew you. Oh, now, wait a minute. Look at all the good things we did. We must have been your follower. He says, I never knew you. And that's a pretty good statement to say you're not New Testament Christians. I never knew you. The idea that I want you to get from what I've said in the last few minutes is that there is a combination of factors that helps us to determine whether or not we're New Testament Christians, just like there's a combination of factors that helps us determine how to become a New Testament Christian. Yes, I believe very strongly that we still need to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized to be Christians. I teach that. I believe it. But you know that you would not find in any one passage in the Scripture all five of those ideas. As far as I know, there's not one passage that teaches all five of them in that same passage. And if we were to pull one passage out by itself, we might conclude that as long as we have faith, we're Christians. Or if we pull another passage out, we might conclude just so long as we have been immersed. Whether or not for the right reason, whether or not we had the prerequisites before it, that we're Christians because we've been baptized. You know and I know that we've got to take all of that into consideration. Well, now let's go back and look at the passages that we've noticed in the book of John. In John 8:31, if ye continue in my word, we've got to have the right authority. John 13:35, if ye love one another, we must have the right attitude. And John 15, verse 8, if you've done these works and have produced fruits, we've got to have the right kind of action. I believe determining whether or not we are New Testament Christians, in a sense, comes down to the combination of these three basic ideas, all of which start with the letter A. Authority, attitude, and action. And if we just have one of the three or two of the three, we'll come up short. There are those who could take the Bible and say, listen, I can show you chapter and verse. We're doing exactly what the Bible says as far as being the New Testament church. Someone was describing to me about 2 weeks ago a congregation that's in another state that has taken upon itself the task of being the watchdog, and they want to be so sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. They wear the name Church of Christ. They refer to Christ. They teach the plan of salvation, man 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They worship by the plan 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they are not doing anything. as far as service to people is concerned. And they certainly don't have much love for the brethren, because most of their time, especially including their bulletin, is spent in criticizing somebody in the church. And some of the criticism may be just. They are, by the authority, 1, 2, 3, 4, what they believe to be the blueprint for the church, but they have no love and they have no action. On the other hand, sometimes we see a group that just seems to be filled with love, but they do not teach the plan of salvation. They do not worship according to the Bible. Maybe they do not produce fruits among others. Their love is inward. It's among themselves. Is that all there is to being a New Testament Christian? Don't think so. And sometimes, and this is what has happened in the world in the last few months, sometimes we mistake the actions of people for the complete package of New Testament Christians. The two examples I have in mind are Mother Teresa and Princess Diana. There was worldwide the basic idea of, look how great these two people were based upon their actions toward others. And there were some great actions there. But do we draw conclusions of what a person is just by either one of these? I want to go back and emphasize it takes the authority, it takes the attitude, and it takes the action. Now let's go to 1 John and let's look at another book where the same author writes on this. 1 John 3:14. And by the way, it's amazing at how many times the word know is used in 1 John. I didn't count them, but just at this opening in my Bible, I have underscored them or highlighted them in yellow, and I see 10 or 12 times just at this one opening that the word know is used. Chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That sounds like John 13:35, doesn't it? Back up to the second chapter, verses 3 through 5. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And notice, and hereby know we that we are in him. That sounds a lot like John 8:31, doesn't it? Keep his commandments, keep his word. Look at the 29th verse of chapter 2. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That sounds a lot like John 15:8, bearing fruits, doing righteousness. The word righteousness in many instances come to mean the idea of service to others and the right attitude toward others. Works of righteousness, service to our fellow men and to God. And so here again, we have the idea of attitude, we have the idea of authority, we have the idea of action. And then to expand on that, look at chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion toward him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, nor in deed, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. There's that reaching out to have the attitude of love toward the brother, and the love of service toward the brother. Then look at verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The next chapter, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And I would remind you that Romans 8, 14 through 16 includes this statement, that the Spirit God, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirits that we are sons of God. Same idea as being a Christian. Remember that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Remember lessons we've just studied recently of how what we know of the Spirit is through this book and this revelation, Third chapter of Ephesians, the entirety of it, shows that for a time the idea of salvation was a mystery, but now it has been revealed where we can know the mind of God that was there even before the worlds began. We can know what God expects. We can know what being a Christian is. Again, here in 1 John, we have those three ideas. Authority, what does the Bible say? Attitude toward one another, toward people. And action, service to others. I think it's sort of summed up in 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written unto you. There in Romans 8, where he says, the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God, this, folks, is exactly what he's saying. We've got God's revealed will here, which he tells us how to become a Christian, how to worship as a Christian, how to live as a Christian. We have the authority. He describes the attitude, and he describes the action. I can look at my own life. I can know whether or not I have obeyed the gospel as he teaches. I can know whether or not I'm worshiping as he dictates. I can know what my relationship to my family and my friends and my community is supposed to be as far as love and service is concerned. And therefore, I can look at my own life in light of what the Word of God says, the written Word of God, and I can know that I'm a New Testament Christian. It's not a guess. It's not just thinking it. It's not just hoping it. Oh, hope is involved. But it's amazing at the number of times that the word know is used. It's not based upon my feelings. It's not based upon whether I have the approval of my peers. Though my feelings need to be good and I want the approval of my peers, it is based upon authority, attitude, and action that is revealed in the written Word of God. Can we know if we are Christians? Yes. We can know what God wants, and we can know whether or not we're doing that. If you're not a Christian, if you're a wayward child of God, you need to do something so that you can have that blessed assurance that comes, that is based upon the Word of God. If you don't have it, come to Jesus this morning as together we stand and sing.